There's a new Donald Trump ad that sounds a lot like the old Donald Trump ads.
America must put its own citizens first, because only then can we truly make America great again.
The ad is funded by the nonprofit group Making America Great, which is headed by Rebecca Mercer, who's been called the first lady of the alt-right. She's credited with maneuvering Steve Bannon and Kellyanne Conway onto the Trump campaign when it first faltered. Both Bannon and Conway worked for organizations funded by Rebecca's father, hedge fund billionaire Robert Mercer. So who are the Mercers? Well, for one thing, Robert Mercer is also funding one of the leading climate change deniers, Arthur Robinson, and he said that African Americans were better off economically before the Civil Rights Movement, that Hillary Clinton participated in a drug-running plot out of Mena, Arkansas, and that both Clintons are murderers. Robert Mercer funds anti-Hillary groups, including the one that made the anti-Hillary film Citizens United, the center of the Supreme Court decision which removed limits on how much corporations and nonprofits and individuals like Bob Mercer can spend on federal elections. And his $10 million investment in the alt-right Breitbart News gave it flight. In fact, journalist Jane Mayer makes the case in The New Yorker that Bob Mercer got Donald Trump into the Oval Office. She joins us now. And Jane, Trump voters are probably saying, yes, Mercer did, and he did it brilliantly.
I am hearing that. I mean, one of the people I interviewed for the article was Steve Bannon, and I haven't heard from him directly, but I've heard through the grapevine that he felt the story was a good story in some ways, in that it shows the really larger-than-life role that he played when he connected up with the Mercer family and helped channel their fortune into political projects that helped launch Trump.
So you can look at this through two prisms. Let's just go straight at it. Who is Robert Mercer, the CEO of, as you report, one of the most profitable hedge funds in the U.S., computer scientist, somebody into analogs and data, and not very verbal?
Well, he is described as really something of a computer and math genius. He's now 70 years old, but he has been behind a couple breakthroughs in the computer world. The first one was figuring out how to translate languages on computers. So it was the beginning of Google's translation programs and some of the things that brought us things like Siri. And after that, he figured out how to use computers to take masses of data in the stock market and boil them down in ways that would help predict where the market's going so that his firm, Renaissance Technologies, could make extra smart trades. And so in many ways, they've outsmarted the stock market, and the place is just minting billions of dollars.
Well, there's that. He also, in his involvement in politics, benefited greatly from the Citizens United Supreme Court decision, which allowed more money into politics. And there's a pattern here. He was a major investor in the group that made the film.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you take a look at Bob Mercer's politics, he is way out on the far right fringe of America. And he believes that he should be able to use his fortune to try to impose his views on the country.
But address right now people who might be thinking, but other people do that on the left. George Soros invests in things that he believes in and people he believes in.
They definitely do. And they've been able to do it much more since the Citizens United decision from the Supreme Court in 2010. Bob Mercer happens to have been especially successful at it recently because he invested in a number of ways in a number of projects that really, behind the scenes, helped launch Trump. And that is a statement that was made by Steve Bannon to me in this story. He says that no other donor has come close to the impact that the Mercer families had in building the foundation for the what he calls the Trump Revolution.
Talk about some of the groups that he invested in.
Yeah, well, a lot of what, it's interesting, in addition to putting $22.5 million just into campaigns in 2016, including the Trump campaign, what the Mercer family did was kind of a longer view investment in companies and organizations that were trying to undermine the mainstream media. So they invested in Breitbart News, and they also invested in and started something called the Government Accountability Institute. And what it did was it dug up dirt on political figures that they didn't like, including Hillary Clinton. And it produced a book that became a major bestseller called Clinton Cash, the Government Accountability Institute succeeded in giving a copy of it to the New York Times early, which took that exclusive access to turn it into a front page story, which gave credibility to the whole idea that Hillary Clinton was a corrupt figure.
Well, we remember this moment. It was sort of an embarrassing journalistic moment, but were the claims true?
Well, I think probably some of the claims are true. Sometimes you can have a slant that doesn't mean that the story is completely wrong, but it may be lacking context. For instance, the Clintons may have done things. She may have definitely given those speeches to Goldman Sachs. But when you take a look at what Trump was doing, well, we now have a government that's filled with people who worked at Goldman Sachs. So does that make her especially corrupt? There's a question of context that's missing.
Much of the comments about Mercer come from people that he worked with at Renaissance Technologies. One of them, David Magerman, who told you that Mercer very much believes that if someone is on welfare, they have negative value. Someone earns 1,000 times more than a school teacher, then he's 1,000 times more valuable. But what are your biggest questions about him? In other words, are there illegalities?
Well, my questions coming into this story were, I knew that the Mercers had a tremendous amount of influence, but they don't give interviews. So my question coming into this was, who are these people and what do they really believe? And what kinds of places are they trying to take America? And what he thinks is extraordinary. It's the first time I've ever come across anyone who has been arguing that the nuclear bombs dropped on the Japanese in World War II were actually in some ways healthy for the Japanese because the radiation from it outside of the blast zone, he believes, was good for the Japanese. It's not a position that the National Academy of Sciences, for instance, backs up. You hear many people with big money, particularly fossil fuel industry people, who will say that global warming is not really happening or that people are not really causing it. He endorses that point of view, too. But he takes it to a further extreme and suggests that global warming is really great for everybody and that plant life and animal life are going to be better off. Again, it's a position that you just don't find much scientific support for. Bob Mercer supports, literally is the financial supporter of the scientist who is pushing these points of view.
Well, you write that after the election, his daughter, Rebecca Mercer, was rewarded with a seat on Trump's transition team, and she is pushing Arthur Robinson, the climate change skeptic. She pushed that he be named the National Science Advisor. She pushed for John Bolton, the former ambassador to the UN, to be Secretary of State. Did not win on those counts, but do you get a sense that because of how much the Mercers lubricated with cash the path to the White House, that there's some sort of payback for them?
Well, I mean, listen, you don't have to take it from me as a reporter, though I did try very hard to be very factual in this piece. Take a listen to what the people who work with Bob Mercer say about that. David Magerman says, Bob Mercer invested in Trump, and he now owns a sizable piece of the Trump presidency. And there are other people quoted who say that they kind of bought themselves seats on the transition team by putting so much money in. So you had Rebecca Mercer on the Trump transition team, and she then recommended various hires, Michael Flynn to be the National Security Advisor. And, of course, he briefly was until he got in trouble and got fired. She also pushed very hard for Jeff Sessions to be Attorney General. And that one did work.
Well, you could also say that the Mercers were prescient. They supported the, at the time, very small alt-right Breitbart News, which then helped the path to the White House for Donald Trump. They found Pat Caddell, the former Democratic pollster, and a data mining company that revealed what to Bob Mercer about how the electorate was feeling.
Well, what they knew early on was that there was this kind of growing populist anger in the country against elites. And so they were seeing early polling as far back as 2012 showing this. And when the Mercers were thinking about which candidates to back, they were cognizant that this kind of growing populist anger was going to be a real phenomenon in 2016.
You quote Pat Caddell about the results of their polling. He says, it was stunning. The country was on the verge of an uprising against its leaders. I just fell over. But then as you characterize it, here you have one of the richest men in America, Bob Mercer, paying Pat Caddell to keep collecting polling data that enabled him to exploit the public's resentment of elites such as himself.
Well, this is how I see it. I mean, I think there's an irony in the idea that you've got a man like Bob Mercer, who makes $135 million a year, according to Institutional Investor, who is looking at polling that says the public's getting mad at the idea that the rich are getting away with murder. And he's thinking, okay, well, I need to find a candidate who's going to capture that anger. And the candidate that spoke to him first was Ted Cruz. And when Cruz fell apart as a candidate, they moved to Trump, who was very much speaking in the language of populism. And it was a potent kind of message. It was a message that the polling showed would be potent, and it was.
The New Yorker's Jane Mayer. Her story is The Reclusive Hedge Fund Tycoon Behind the Trump Presidency. It's the story of Robert Mercer. We'll post it at hereandnow.org. Jane, thank you.
Thanks for having me on.